Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You can't rely on blind faith to get the pregnancy support you deserve. Ritual's Essential Prenatal Multivitamin is the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Get 25% off when you visit ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, this is Genuinely Grace. Welcome to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio. Hi, and welcome to the show. I hope you're well, and really delighted today that my guest is Philly J. Lay. I've come across Philly's work a fair bit over the years, so delighted that I'm going to be working with her as part of the festival that she's organising and being on a stage, sort of a stage, alongside Barbara O'Neill, who I don't think there's anyone who at the moment who hasn't heard of Barbara O'Neill. So very excited about that. Just in case you're looking ahead, and I don't know when you might be listening to this show, but just in case you are in London or can get to London, June the 18th, I've got a very special Sober Club meetup, but it's open to everyone. It's at Club Soda. You can get tickets now. And the really cool thing is that we have the amazing Claire Pooley is going to be speaking at that event, or I'm chatting to Claire Pooley and the Sober Socialite. So it's a fantastic opportunity to just be in a non-judgmental atmosphere, have a fabulous alcohol-free drink, get to hear Claire Pooley, author of so many incredible best-selling books. And it's Wednesday, 18th of June. So I really hope that you're able to make it. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find the info there. And then the following week, the 24th of June, I'm going to be part of something called the Great British Supper Clubs at one of my favourite restaurants, Lussmann's in Hertfordshire. I'm going to be hosting a no booze, but still lots of fun event. So it's an evening with fabulous food and alcohol-free drinks. And again, if you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you'll find all of the information there, because, you know, connection is everything.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their Essential Prenatal Multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest is Philly J. Lay, who I met fairly recently. And actually, I can't believe, Philly, that we didn't meet years ago, because our paths should have crossed, shouldn't they? Welcome.
They absolutely should have. And it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Janie.
So, yeah, Philly, we're going to chat about your podcast, hugely successful podcast and book. But you also do amazing events. And I'm so excited to be invited to speak at your event in August, where you're bringing over Barbara O'Neill, no less. I mean, that's super exciting.
I'm so thrilled that you're coming to speak, Janie. Yes, it is super exciting. I met Barbara 18 months ago, and I did an event with her last year, and it was completely sold out with a massive wait list. And so I thought, what can we do to make that better this year? I thought, let's have a festival. Let's have a party.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
And learn lots of wellness, obviously, along the route.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's so important. I mean, as you know, I've been doing this stuff for so many years. I sometimes joke that I was, you know, writing about coconut oil and kale before they got their own publicists. You know, my first book came out in 2006. and it's only now that all of this stuff is properly coming to the forefront, you know. So it's fantastic at last. You know, people are talking about holistic wellness, because it has to be the holistic picture, doesn't it?
It has to be. It's an all-round picture. And it's just a matter of making habits. And, you know, once you know how toxic seed oils are, why would you cook with them when you can cook with coconut oil or, you know, a good organic grass-fed butter? You know, why would you use something that's toxic for your body? And more information is coming out on this now, which is just fantastic.
It is. It is. So, look, before we talk a bit more about that, let's just talk a bit about your story, because it's an absolutely fascinating story. Just give me a version, because I know it's huge, but give me a version of it, because I know you, in addition to the various trials and traumas you had, you also ended up addicted to alcohol as well.
I did, yes. Well, the first time I knew I was really, really in trouble was I woke up in a hospital bed, and there was a mattress on the floor, and the registrar of the hospital had been sleeping next to me. I'd gone in for a spinal fusion. How I get to that, it's a whole nother story, because, you know, the body holds the score. But I got in for a spinal fusion and they missed my spine with the anaesthetic and I nearly died. my life wasn't saved by a surgeon. It was saved by the registrar. And she just lay by my bed for 24 hours and she just kept saying, come on, find your happy place. Where's your happy place? Take me to your happy place. Where is it? And I couldn't find it. I was out. I can still hear that scream from when they brought me round from the operation. And that is a scream that I will take with me till the day I die. The pain was unbelievable.
Yeah.
So anyway, she phoned my now ex-husband and said, I think you better bring the children in and say goodbye. And so the girls were brought in, and lo and behold, they were my happy place. And I came round.
How long ago was this, Philly?
This was just over 11 years ago.
Right, right.
But my health spiraled out of control. I spent 2 years of my life in bed, addicted to opioids and alcohol, as you said.
Wow.
They gave me one of those little buzzer things that you just press so that I could just keep releasing the morphine.
Wow.
I have morphine patches on. I remember a mum at my daughter's primary school who used to pick them up very often and take them to school for me, because, you know, when Danny was away, because I couldn't drive and I couldn't leave my bed. And she told me afterwards, because I don't have any recollections really of that 2 years, but she said that she'd pick me up at 8 o'clock in the morning and I would be downing opioids with a bottle of wine.
Oh my God. Wow.
At 8 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, I had no recollection of that whatsoever.
So what were the medical professionals kind of saying or doing about this then, about the fact that you obviously got all this horrendous health issues, but effectively the addiction on top of it all?
They didn't say anything at all. They just kept prescribing more and more opioids. I didn't go back. I went back to the surgeon who did the operation. And, you know, I remember Danny having a right go at him and saying, you know, what are you going to do about the fact that this was a complete disaster? And he said it wasn't. He said it was a very successful operation. It was just the anaesthetic went wrong.
Right, just.
And it's like, oh. And Danny asked me to go and see a lawyer, but I couldn't because I couldn't talk about it. I couldn't relive it. I just suppressed everything down.
Yeah.
And hoped it would go away. But, you know, these things don't go away. They stay in the body.
Absolutely.
And so I didn't go near a doctor again for nearly 2 years. And then one morning I saw this great big lump in my throat and I thought, oh, what's that? So I booked an appointment, went to my doctor. I was this big fat lump that couldn't move, you know, chronically depressed, chronic fatigue, chronic brain fog, frozen shoulder, autoimmune diseases everywhere. And he went, oh, my goodness. And he was great. And I ended up seeing four consultants 4 days running. You know, he just booked me in, going, you've got to see this woman. I went to see them all and I just kept saying, is it connected? And obviously they don't know because they're not taught to connect the body.
Yeah, they don't do things holistically.
No. So they just all told me what they were going to do, including the surgeon that was going to take my tumour out. And he said, you know, I will try to keep half your thyroid, but I can't promise.
God.
So I had that done, which I now regret. You know, I didn't know about things like castor oil then, you know. So I had it done. I was immediately put on antibiotics afterwards. And I said, what are the antibiotics for? And he said, just a precaution. We don't want you to get an infection. I didn't know then that antibiotics are a nuclear bomb in your gut, especially when you're trying to heal. And I just thought, I can't see any of the others. I was due to have shoulder surgery a couple of weeks later, and I just thought, I can't.
And were you still drinking?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
Wow. So all that medication and then more medication on top of it, effectively.
Absolutely.
And I don't suppose you were asked about that either.
I wasn't asked. No. I was never asked about my lifestyle at all. Basically, I just took the decision that day I was going to give up Western medicine and I was going to go and find a path and heal myself naturally because I was in a state.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be like that. You know, I didn't want my 90-year-old mum coming over on a Sunday with her Zimmer frame. You know, my sister would bring her and her having to take me for a walk around the garden. You know, although that is a tremendous place to start your healing journey because we used to smell the flowers and she used to tell me what they were because I just had no memory of them. You know, even roses, you know, I go, what's that, mum? She goes, that's rose pill.
So this is what trauma does to you, isn't it? So interesting.
Yeah. So I gave it all up and I thought, right, let's start with diet and nutrition. Did really well. Signed up, and I'd spent a lot of that 2 years in bed. I couldn't read because my eyes were just too tired the whole time to read, but I was downloading a lot of docuseries. So I listened to The Truth About Cancer, downloaded that, The Truth About Detox, The Truth About Vaccines, you know, just the all these, every, you know, health optimizational summit, and just loads and loads and loads of different talks. And also through this period of time, my mum was dying. You know, she was 90 and she was dying. My sister Trish died of motor neurons disease. She died just before the spinal fusion.
Wow.
And now, knowing what I know, it was the last disc in my spine, which is support, not feeling supported.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel supported throughout Trish, you know, her illness or her death. But also I didn't feel that I supported her enough. I, you know, she became ill very quickly and I just thought, oh, she'll be fine. You know, and they were saying, oh, she's got a virus. And I go, oh, it's fine. It's a virus. It'll go. I didn't know about germ and terrain theory then. I didn't know anything. After she died, I did make some inquiries and I asked her husband, I said, did they ever do a stools test? Did they ever see what was going on in her gut? And he went, no, why would they do that? And I thought, okay. So no, they didn't. But so, you know, there was Trish, then mum, and then a dear friend of mine, Sarah, died of cancer. And my best friend and my soulmate, Polly, died of, I believe, chemo. So I had this tremendous grief going on as well. But because of that, I was trying to find out anything I could do to help these people. And by doing that, I'd actually already started building my toolkit, but I was unaware that I was building a toolkit. So yeah. It was just, okay, I'm giving up sugar. And I gave up all sugar, including alcohol, for 6 months, wiped it from my diet. And I thought, oh gosh, do you know what? I do feel a lot better for not having sugar. And alcohol and sugar, as you know, is carbohydrates as well. So I gave it all up, started feeling, you know, a lot better, lost the weight that I'd put on. You know, I put on a huge amount lying in bed for 2 years. You know, there was no exercise. And then I just had to start with little things because I had no balance left. And so what I started doing was when I went to the bathroom in the morning to clean my teeth, I held onto the sink and I cleaned my teeth with the wrong hand and lifted the other left up just on the, you know, off the floor slightly. I couldn't balance, and yet I trained as a classical dancer.
I was going to say, you're a professional dancer. My goodness.
Yeah. So, but I couldn't even let go of that basin, and my foot was only an inch off the floor. And then I swap and put it on the other side. So I really had to start back from square one, but I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. And then, you know, it takes a strain on a marriage, living like that, because I had become incredibly fanatical, you know, kind of, no, you can't bring that food in the house. No, you to take your shoes off and see if there are any chemicals. Oh my God, you put aftershave on. Get it off, you're killing me. And all this really bad, negative self-speak. But, you know, I was just paranoid about the world around me. You know, we'd occasionally kind of go out and or, you know, have to get into an Uber for something like, you know, the children's parents party, because I did try and get up for a couple of things, but, you know, I could never stay long because I just felt awful. And we'd get in an Uber and they'd have those terrible air fresheners.
Oh my god, do I hate those.
I just start retching and I have the window open and go, oh my God, you're killing me, you're killing me. You know, so I was a mare, you know, I'm not going to lie. And my marriage didn't survive it. And I put a post up on our 22nd wedding anniversary on Facebook, and I went to write happy anniversary and I couldn't. There was just nothing in me that could say that, because our relationship had become so toxic, which again didn't help, you know, which is why the drinking crept back in, even after the 6 months, because I just, the energy in our home was just horrible, really. So I went to write happy anniversary and I couldn't. And I just wrote, it's with Grace Agnes that after 22 years of marriage, Danny and I have decided to go our separate ways. We had a lovely wedding, two beautiful children, and your love and support would be greatly appreciated. And I just put that out to the universe. And it's not a great thing to do, not a good thing at all to end your marriage like that. But I got to a point where I had to do something really, really radical.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about divorcing for, you know, kind of 4 years by then. And the arguments were terrible. And I just thought, if I don't end this, it's not going to end. And when my sister Trish died, her marriage had been problematic. And I looked at the effect that it had had on her mentally and physically. And I just thought, I can't turn into that person. I have to go. But the universe had something extraordinary in store for me. And I had a message on Facebook from a woman that I hadn't seen for 22 years. I hadn't known her long. I've been her office junior in an estate agent, you know, kind of 22 years ago. And it was a lovely message. And she just said, I've just seen your Facebook post. I know I haven't seen you for 22 years, and I know our friendship was short, but I remember it being good fun. And so I've got a course going on in September, and I think you should do it. And what's your email? And I said, thank you, that's really lovely of you. Gave him my email and got an email through from a woman who is a dear friend of mine and my trainer and mentor, Penny Kroll.
Oh, Penny, yeah.
You know Penny, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Only via Carl, via training in Matrix, yeah.
Yeah. So I looked at this thing called EFT. And I just thought, no idea what that is. So I thought, well, it's, you know, I'll go. And then I saw the price and I thought, well, maybe I won't. And just as I was about to respond no, I got another message from her going, oh, by the way, it's a gift. And when the universe gives you a gift, you take it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, okay. Okay. So I said, I'll be there. So I got there. And there were all these people sitting around in a circle tapping. You know, and they're just kind of doing this, and I'm just looking at them thinking, what on earth are you doing? I mean, what on earth are you doing? And I thought, okay, I can't go because it's a gift, so I can't just walk out. But I just, tomorrow I'll just send an email and go, really sorry, not feeling very well, or, you know, I'll make an excuse. And I remember the timing so well because we just had a coffee break and we come back in, everybody started tapping again. And I let out another God Almighty scream, which was actually almost on a par to the one after the spinal fusion. And I fell to the floor and I thought I was having a heart attack and I was in a terrible state. And I was screaming for somebody to call an ambulance. And nobody moved. They just sat there and carried on tapping. And I thought, what on earth is wrong with these people? What is wrong with you? I'm obviously in huge amount of pain and you're doing nothing. And Penny picked me up from the floor and put me on a chair and started tapping on me. And I was screaming and screaming at her, going, don't tap me, get your hands off me, get me an ambulance. And she didn't. And I couldn't move, and I was holding my heart because I thought I was having a heart attack. And then these extraordinary things started happening to my body. And she was telling me to visualize the pain and to give it a color and to give it a form. And it was just moving around my body. And we were giving it an intensity of, you know, 0 to 10. It was off the scale. I was crying. I went into an ab reaction. But I could feel this pain moving. And I'm like, what on earth is going on? 2 hours later, it was lunchtime. So Penny stopped the training. And she said, we're stopping for lunch. And she asked one of her helpers to come and get me and to take me to another room and to continue to work on me because I was still in a bad place. She said, before you go, and she just flicked the screen of the slides. And she just said, and that was a perfect example of chasing the pain. And I thought, what is this chasing the pain? So I worked over the lunch break with MJ and I felt a huge amount of relief. And I think the only words that came out of my mouth for the whole course were extraordinary and a mass of expletives around that extraordinary.
So would you say then that Penny and the others in that room then could see that what was going on with you was a kind of a trauma response? You know, you weren't actually having a heart attack. You know, there'll be people listening thinking, well, how very irresponsible if Philly had have been having a heart attack. That really is not going to help. But it was obvious that in your case, this was a response to something that had been triggered within you, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things you must remember is a heart attack is a healing peak. It's the body trying to reset. But the fact that they were all tapping and they were tapping on themselves. But again, that has an effect.
Surrogate tapping. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the collective. But the fact that the pain was chasing around my body.
Yeah.
And it was going from my heart to my gut, to my shoulder, to, you know, when I first fell on the floor, I felt like I was being stabbed in my hip, you know, just a knife was going in. It was just excruciating. But because it was traveling all around my body, it was, you know, they could see it was a trauma response. They were all most of the people in the room, obviously Penn is a, you know, a master practitioner and trainer, but most of them, this wasn't their first. I think I was the only brand newbie to it, because you tend to do a lot of these courses, don't you, Jamie, as you know.
Absolutely.
And each one
Amazing.
is a completely different experience. And you know, you mentioned the fabulous Carl Dawson there, and you know, I remember going to Brighton and training with Carl and Janice Thompson, you know, all these fantastic tappers, and they all have something different and new to give to the table, and it's, you know, each experience is wonderful.
So from that place, obviously you realized, okay, hold on a moment then. I can heal myself effectively. And there are all kinds of amazing modalities that can support that.
I mean, I'd learned quite a lot with the diet and nutrition, but then going into energy work, you know, and training as an energy psychologist, and seeing what trauma does to the body. You know, every little trigger from the moment you wake up, you know, I hope your listeners don't turn the radio on, but if you do and you hear the news, you're going to be triggered. You know, you can turn on your social media, you're going to be triggered. You get in the car and drive the kids to school, you're going to be triggered. There's going to be that perfect mother by the school gate that you really didn't want to see because you're still wearing your pajamas. Or, you know, something's going to happen. But, you know, or the van that cuts you up, you know, it's trigger, 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 trigger. And then a body, eventually your body just collapses and goes into the parasympathetic. And then you have to have that healing peak. Somebody will trigger you. And it's just like, whoosh, you're into a healing peak. And that's when, you know, a cold becomes the flu, or, you know, a little pain in the heart does become a heart attack. You know, loads of different things. Or, you know, a bit of a tummy ache, you start vomiting, or you have diarrhea. And, you know, all of these emotions that are held within the body, you have to get them out. And we're not good at doing that in Western society. We are kind of programmed, you know, and especially, I mean, I think it's better now than it used to be. But I remember Polly, who I mentioned earlier, her telling me that when her granny died, so this was her dad's mum, and they had gone to live with her sister, and I think this is right, sister and her husband. And you know, Polly's dad was sent into the garden to play, and his mum had been in bed and, you know, on death's door for quite a while. And when she passed, his uncle opened the window and said, "Just thought you better know your mum's dead," and then closed the window again. Nobody came down and said, "Let's sit down, let's have a talk," or, "Do you want to come and say goodbye?" I mean, we live in a world. My dad fought in World War II. He was a pilot. And there was a photograph. My eldest sister told me this story. When she was very little, she was going to get a ball or something from under the stairs. And she came across this photograph, big photograph, of a squadron of pilots. And so she took it. She was only about four. She took it to dad and she said, "Oh, dad, what's this?" And he went mental, absolutely mental, grabbed it out of her hands, ripped it up. Screamed at her to get out the room. She was crying. My mum went after her and she went, "Oh, Janet, darling, I hid that because it's the only photograph I had of your dad and his squadron on the day that they all passed their wings." And Janet was crying and said, "Why was daddy so upset?" And she said, "Because every single one of those men died in World War II. He was the only one that came back squadron alive." Never spoke about
Now
that.
imagine that his body would have translated that to guilt that he was the only one that survived. We see this a lot in the constellations work that I do. It so often comes up when you're if other people die and there's that sense of why was I spared?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But for you then, obviously you got well, you got your toolkit, you've really kind of embraced everything, and now it seems that your absolute passion is just sharing some of this stuff with as many people as possible.
Absolutely. I started doing that. So I was going to open a retreat, actually, in 2019. I was just finishing the retreat. And then 2020 happened. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, if everybody knew these incredible tools that we can all use to heal, people wouldn't be living in fear. Yeah. And fear is the biggest suppressor of the immune system. 1 minute's laughter boosts the immune system for 24 hours. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, everyone has got to know what I know. And so I changed paths and I wrote and published my first book, The Natural Wellness Journal, in 2.5 months. I just thought, right, I'm going to get all this information out. And it's a very sweet little book. Journaling was a massive part of my journey.
Yeah.
And when I started on the diet and nutrition, I took it too far, as I take, you know, as well, you say training as a classical dancer, you always take everything too far.
Yeah.
And one thing's for certain, you are never enough. But I took it too far and I was bordering on anorexia for a while. And a friend of mine came over and she said, she didn't want to have a conversation with me because she could see how passionate I was about the diet and nutrition. And she said, I think you should put bone broth into your diet. If I come over next week, we make some together and start experimenting with it. And I'm like, okay. And we made this bone broth together. And she said, you know, when you eat your bone broth, why don't you just write down how it made you feel? She said, actually, why don't you keep a food diary and just, you know, write down how you feel every time you eat? And I thought, well, I'm not doing that nonsense. That's not happening. And then when Polly died, and I was really at rock bottom, and I just thought, and I had some bone broth, and I thought, I'm going to write how I feel. And I couldn't stop writing. And I wrote for 2 weeks solidly, almost day and night, just everything pouring out of me that I was holding on to. Mm. And I thought, okay, journaling is a new part of my life. And I thought, how can I write a really simple book that just gives you all the little tips that I learned? So on every page, you know, I've got a short, you know, 1 to 5 minute breath work. You know, in the morning when you wake up, there's a smiley face and it says, what are you grateful for today? But we go through and we cover, you know, my story and my healing journey.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, you know, looking in your kitchen cupboards and reading the back of the ingredients and seeing what's in your food, getting out in nature, doing your grounding. On a lot of pages, I've gone, you know, put your favorite music on and dance like no one's watching.
Yeah, shake it out.
Yeah, shake it out. And that was an amazing thing for me. You know, I was 2020 in those lockdowns, I used to have Sweetbox, everything will be all right on virtually the whole time. And I just literally shake and sing. At my sickest, I remember people used to, you know, when people visited, they used to have a go at me because I was humming. Mm. And I didn't know that was my body trying to heal. That was my vagus nerve connecting and trying to keep my brain awake. So, you know, we've got the power of Om in there. We've got everything. Obviously, we've got tapping and we've got my daily essentials and, you know, some of them that I don't like as much, like cold water therapy and, you know, just turning that shower to cold for one minute, 30 seconds, if that's all you can do. Just giving yourself a little bit of a shock. Breath work. I then went on to train as a Soma breath work coach. And I wrote my first album, The Wellness Awakening, which I think out of all the work I've done is the thing I'm most proud of. And it takes you from past lives to passing. So we, you know, the intro is very much about those past lives. And you talked about family constellations and all those past lives that affect us now. And it takes us through the whole journey of self-love. You know, I was really privileged recently to interview Marissa Peer on my podcast. And, you know, I learned that hack from her writing, I am enough, on my mirror.
Yeah.
And those days I'd look at it and I couldn't say it, you know, and again, you know, with tapping, you speak in the negative. And Louise Hay once answered this very succinctly when somebody said to her, why are you talking the negative? Because you do all these affirmations and everybody should be talking in the positive. And she said, oh, you can't clean the dirt. You can't clean the house unless you can see the dirt.
Exactly. Yeah, I share that all the time. Because actually, interestingly for me, that was the thing that held me back from training in tapping originally, because I was like you, I was offered an opportunity, but I didn't want to do it because in my case, I figured I thought it was all just absolute BS, and so I didn't want to go. Somebody asked me if I'd write a review of a training course, and I thought I don't want to be mean, so I don't want to say it's BS because this person will feel really bad. But he just said, "Oh no, bring it on. I don't care what you write." And so I rocked up to do the training, and actually that was the thing, because I'd been so steeped in that world of Hay House, and I was a Hay House author for God's sake. The whole idea of kind of thinking negatively just didn't sit right with me, because I've been doing so much around no, we speak in the positive, we you know, everything is as if. But as she so succinctly says, actually you can't see the house, you know, clean the house till you can see the dirt, and now I get it completely. We do have to voice it first, because otherwise we just trap it. And it's interesting what you were saying about journaling being so powerful. You know, one of the things I recommend to all my clients is journaling, particularly if they're in the early stages of quitting alcohol, because actually what's really interesting is when you do that stream of consciousness journaling and you just commit to keeping your pen on the paper for a few minutes, whatever it is, there will always be a thought that comes in your mind that you don't want to write down. So you kind of notice, you know, there you are going, oh, well, I don't know what to write and I've got to send a birthday card. And then the next thought that comes in, there's a pause because you don't want to think it. You don't want to think that thought. And when you realize, oops, okay, I'm going to have to get it out. When you actually commit it to paper, it loses so much of its emotional charge. And in my own case, you know, I remember quite clearly that I'd been journaling something, and I had written something down that was a thought that I had been pushing away for years. But I committed, I wrote it down. And then I don't know how long it was, a couple of weeks later, I was just sort of going out for a walk, and that thought came back to me. And literally the answer, the kind of the light bulb as to what to do about it, just popped into my head. And that can be the power of journaling. And allowing the stuff to come out that you've tried to trap, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do trap it. And I remember after Polly died, and I was in such a bad place, and I went away on retreat with my girls to a lovely place in Gozo that it was the second time I'd been, called Amchara. And I had discovered on my journey, which I cover in my book, colonic irrigation. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Love a bit of a coffee enema. And so I'd gone along to have this done. And it's one big tank of water, 1 hour. And we'd done that. And the practitioner said to me, there's something deeply stuck in you. Would you go to 3 hours, three tanks, which is max I can do? I went, oh, okay. And she said, but we've got to talk about something else. I said, I can't, I can only talk about Polly dying. And she went, no, we've done that. How's your marriage? Well, the water had been absolutely clean for about 40 minutes. And the minute she said, how's your marriage? The water ran black. And it ran black for the remaining 2 hours. And then she took me back to my room and my children came back. I was too weak to go for my shot, my turmeric and ginger shot at 6 o'clock. So I lay there, but I was having to go to the toilet till about 3 o'clock in the morning with this absolute black pouring out of me. And this lovely practitioner, Rose, said, I'm going to come back tomorrow, even though it was her day off. She said, I'm coming back tomorrow to see you. So she came to collect me in the morning, took me to a treatment room and she said, we're just going to do a little bit of Reiki. And I'm like, okay. And she said to me, you know, the black that came out of your stomach was nothing to do with your marriage at all. That was so dark. That was a really old trauma held in your body of most probably 25, 30 years ago. So something happened then, I believe, that you never dealt with. I said, well, my dad died very suddenly of a heart attack. And I never dealt with it. Well, I did. I thought I dealt with it. But for me, dealing with it was going down the neck of a bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was working away from home at the time. So I had to carry on working and I couldn't deal with my dad. And so I just drank and drank and drank every night myself into a stupor.
Yeah.
And that's how I dealt with dad. But obviously I hadn't dealt with the trauma of it. And there it was stuck in my gut. But how amazing is the body? And she said, you know, what it did was it took that grief and it parceled it in your gut and surrounded it to keep it safe so that you didn't have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And we just released that. And if we hadn't have released it, you have to ask, what would that become?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That becomes stomach cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? Really fascinating. So tell us a bit about what you're doing now then, Philly. Obviously, as you say, you did the event with Barbara last year. Just in case there's anyone listening who isn't aware of Barbara O'Neill, do you just want to give us a, you know, 30-second summary of Barbara's amazing work?
Well, Barbara O'Neill is most probably the most famous health educator on the planet. She's in her 70s, she's from Australia, and she is banned now from working in Australia and practicing in her retreat. So she travels the world 9 months of the year, giving absolutely spectacular talks on all the wonderful things that you can do for your health. So everything from castor oil to cayenne pepper, to making poultices, to what herbs do what, you know, diet, you know, everything, absolutely yeah. everything.
I love the fact that Barbara is, you know, exactly as I am passionate about it, she really does have this holistic picture. So, you know, she will talk about obviously food and nutrition, you know, and supplementation and herbs, but also emotional well-being and the impact of trauma on the body and the whole dental picture, you know, don't get me started. But, you know, she does. She really is the only person I think is really out there doing that full holistic thing, which is incredible.
And what she's very good at is sharing everybody else's work. And when I wrote my book, The Natural Wellness Journal, I hadn't heard of Barbara. I must have been like the only person on TikTok that hadn't heard of Barbara. And I was only on TikTok because we were in a lockdown and my daughters were on it the whole time and we were doing dances. but I also wanted in my journal to take people to the people that I'd learned from. So, you know, when I was talking about the biology of beliefs, I cite Dr. Bruce Lipton, you know, the amazing, amazing Dr. Bruce Lipton. He went on my vision board and has now been on my podcast.
Amazing.
All but one person on my vision board has now been on my podcast. So I'm nearly there. I love a good vision board, and that's in the book as well. So Barbara is amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're doing this. We're doing two things. I am a member of the People's Health Alliance, and I am passionate that it's all well and good us saying to people, you know, you don't want to go and see a doctor. And I do, with all of my heart, believe there are two places that you need to keep out of if you want to be healthy. One is a supermarket and the other one is a doctor's surgery. Now, if you need a hospital because it's an emergency, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want to turn up at A&E and then go, what's your date of birth? Oh, you're a Capricorn. You know, kind of, you do want medical treatment. However, if you can kind of live a life that as much as possible gets out of that, great. There are loads of great podcasts out there, yours being one of them, you know, your radio show, UK Health Radio. Some phenomenal people getting phenomenal information out. But what I am working on as part of the People's Health Alliance is building health hubs. So I have the Wellness Way Health Hub. So I have my first one earlier this year at CNM, College of Naturopathic Medicine. And we've got our next one on August the 5th with Barbara O'Neill. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And you're going to come along, spend either the morning or the afternoon, but not both. You can only buy a ticket for one or the other for Barbara's talks, which will be the same. So you're not, don't get FOMO. And then the other half of your day, you will spend with practitioners doing workshops, wonderful exhibitors talking about their water filters or their adaptogen coffees or their, you know, Vivo barefoot grounding shoes. And so you can learn all of these benefits and be part of it. So that's the Health Hub. And then a few days later, on the 8th to 10th of August, we make our way down to Wasing Park, which is the most beautiful.
It is beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. The woods there are just stunning. You'd never believe it was so close to London. It's amazing.
I know. Absolutely phenomenal. And there we're going to have a three-day festival, which will kick off at lunchtime with the VIP ticket holders. And we're going to have a beautiful meal with Barbara. So that's a small event and the speakers. So some of the speakers will be there. I hope you'll join us for that, Janie. And that's lovely. And we're just waiting for confirmation, but pretty sure that's going to be done by Pharmacy Restaurant, which is very exciting because I love their food so much. And then we start the festival and we kick off with Breath Pod, Stuart Sanderman. And we're going to have a big collective consciousness breathwork meditation. Then I will introduce Barbara. You're going to have a wonderful talk with Barbara. We have got some amazing speakers, Dr. Jenny Goodman, Dr. Sam Watt, who else is there?
Patrick Holford, yeah.
I love Patrick.
Yeah, I've interviewed Patrick lots of times. I've met him lots of times and he's just great, isn't he? He's written so many books and he's just across everything.
I think he's just hit 40 books and he just understands how the brain works. The first time I interviewed him, I discovered that, you know, he'd worked with over 1,000 schizophrenic patients and they had all healed.
Wow.
You don't learn that at your doctor's surgery now, do you?
Yeah.
So we have got some brilliant, brilliant speakers coming along. Charles Dowding, we've got a food and farming tent called Sow, Grow, Eat Clean. And Dr. Sam Watt will be doing the Witch's Kitchen there, Seed Sisters will be doing kind of, again, Ayurvedic medicine through plants. Mm-hmm. Loads and loads of people. London Nootropics talking about adaptogens. You know, it's going to be a great place for everybody to get together. And we're bringing other organizations in, hopefully, so that we can unite and join together. It's very family orientated.
I was going to ask, is it okay if people want to bring kids?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have a lot of children there.
So is there an opportunity to camp there, to bring tents and stuff?
Yep. So in your ticket price, you can bring your own tent and that's included in the price. We've got the early birds going at the moment, £160 for the weekend. But if you want to go a little bit zhuzhi, you can bring your camper vans, for which there's an extra fee, or we've got glamping. So I'm looking after Barbara in a cottage, so I'm just like, oh, I really want to be glamping. I want the fairy lights.
Yeah, those bell tents are lovely, aren't they?
They're absolutely beautiful. We've got Emma Estrella flying in to do cold water swimming and breath work. She's Wim Hof's right-hand woman, so she's coming in. There's a beautiful lake at Wasing. So there's going to be some cold water swimming. We're going to be doing, you know, blood tests, live blood tests. And we've got Zero Spike there, who have got this phenomenal product called Augmented NAC. NAC was something that I had to put in. I discovered and put in, you know, quite early on in my journey. So, you know, lots and lots of very, very exciting things going on over four stages, a bell tent. Oh, we've got the lovely Liam doing a raw cacao.
Oh, Liam Brown, yeah. Oh, he's been on the podcast. I love his stuff, yeah. Oh,
he's on Saturday.
Is he doing a cacao ceremony?
He is indeedy.
Great.
I know. So I'm very excited about that. That's 3 o'clock on the Saturday. So, yeah, loads of phenomenal things going on, and lots of music. We're going to have bands, and we're going to do forage, forage walking and barefoot walking and dancing.
Brilliant.
Laughing.
Oh, sounds amazing. I can't
up,
wait.
We've got Chris Preedy OBE is coming to do stand-up comedy on trauma.
Amazing.
Which I'm very excited. We've got poetry workshops and, I mean, just loads of lovely things.
Yeah, sounds great. Truly holistic festival. I love it. Amazing. So tell us where people can find out more and get tickets then, Philly.
So if you would like to know any more about me or tickets for the Health Hub, you can go to phillyjlay.com, and that's just the letter J, not the like bird, phillyjlay.com. You can join my community there. I have a wonderful community of people that are all going on journeys together, and we're all supporting each other. We have a Zoom once a month, and we have guests. So, you know, we've done tapping. We have the wonderful Adam Parker, who is a detox king, who is also going to be at the festival. He was on our last Zoom. So you can find that there, and the tickets for the Barbara O'Neill Health Hub. You can find my podcast there. Brilliant people on, like Dr. Vandana Shiva, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Zach Bush, MD, you know, some of the best out there, aren't they, Janie?
Yeah, I've interviewed Zach. He is literally the king, isn't he? He's absolutely fabulous. Love him. Amazing. Okay, great. Well, we'll put that in the...
Yeah, there's a web page for the festival. So if you want the festival, if you just go to www.thewellnesswayfestival.com.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make sure they all go in the show notes anyway, so people can just click. Thank you so much, Philly. It's amazing to chat to you. I love it. Can't wait to see you again soon.
Oh, bless you, sweetheart. Thank you. That was lovely.
Thank you, Philly. And I really look forward to being part of this event. You know how to get your tickets, and we'll make sure that all of the links are in the show notes. Don't forget Wednesday, 18th of June. If you can come to that event at Club Soda in London, you can grab tickets now. And 24th of June, Lussmann's in St. Albans. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Natural Health and Sobriety Show on UK Health Radio.